Today, when is a rate not the rate? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined again by Steve from Canstar. Hi Steve.
Hello Martin.
Thank you very much for spending some more time with us. Your last couple of posts got very well received, and people are getting more and more aware and interested in some of the machinations of what rates are and how they work. So today I want to focus in on mortgage rates. And I think a good place to start would be just to get a bit of an update on what the latest trends are. But then I'd like to move a bit further and talk about the difference between real rates and comparison rates, because I think that's another very important story.
The latest trend is down. Now, people have a misnomer, a misconception about what the Reserve Bank does every first Tuesday of the month. When the Reserve Bank drops their cash rate, that does not say to all the banks they must reduce their rate. It's a signal that they will manage money in the economy and that rates will come down. So that's all it is. The banks can move independently and do move independently. Sometimes they don't even pass on the cash rate cut. Now, what we've seen, though, is that the Reserve Bank has been managing money in the economy. They've been buying bonds to keep interest rates low. That's kept the funding costs to the banks, the lenders, low, and therefore they've been reducing loans a lot over the last little period since the March RBA cuts. So we've seen rates down overwhelmingly.
Right. And is that true equally between the fixed rates and the revolving rates? I'm thinking that people are on an existing rate, you know, a revolving rate, or they're on a fixed term rate. A lot of the cuts seem to have been so far on the fixed side of the house. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. Both have been falling. I mean, the lowest variable rate now is 2.17% as of 2 days ago.
But just to be clear, that's for a new application for a loan, right?
All of these rates are for new borrowers, and that's something I'm going to talk about later on too.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about it now since you raised it. Existing borrowers, when the Reserve Bank cuts their rate, existing borrowers usually get a rate cut, not always the full 0.25%, but they usually get a rate cut. Other times when rates go down, it's very rare that existing borrowers get it. Yes. So it means that having seen 2 months' worth of interest rate cuts since the last time the Reserve Bank moved, new borrowers are getting vastly lower rates, over 1% lower than the average rate. So is the lowest rate. So they're vastly lower. Now, that's something that existing borrowers have to be very careful about and understand that to really partake of this largesse, they've got to go out and find a new loan.
Right. And in fact, the banks rely largely on lethargy from existing borrowers, right? So many borrowers are paying well above what they could pay if they did the lead work.
Absolutely. I call it the apathy tax, Martin. and if you go to your bank and really twist their arm, chances are they'll help you out and give you a bit of a cut. But if you do nothing, they're not going to say, oh, Steve, look, by the way, we've phoned to give you a lower rate. They don't do that. So you've got to do something about it. So I call it an apathy tax. You must do something about it. And sometimes to get the best rate around, you really do have to just go and refinance.
Yeah. And, you know, what I say to people often is, look, if you haven't asked your bank for a rate cut in the last 6 months, do it now, because the chances are if you make a fuss, they might give you something, right? And it's free money, essentially.
Exactly.
Because if you have to switch, then, of course, it's time and effort and cost potentially to do that. But the first port of call is to understand what the best rates in the market are and use that as a bit of a benchmark to negotiate with your existing lender.
Look, exactly. You can tell full well just going to our website how many loans. There are 55 variable rate loans below 2.8%. Right. 79 below 2.8%. Now, that's amazing. The lowest is 2.19% for 80% to LVR, 2.17% for 70% LVR. And frankly, if you have one of those rather than the average 3.46%, on a $400,000 loan, you're up for $279 less every month. Now, try saving it anywhere else. You've got to do it with your home loan. And if you don't do something about it, you're mad.
Yeah, I agree with that absolutely. And those savings are significant. And obviously, many people have bigger mortgages than that. And therefore, the savings are even more extreme. But you've got another problem, right? Because you may be on an existing fixed rate, which could, perhaps you locked in, you know, 6 months or 12 months ago. That's much more tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is tricky because rates have fallen. You know, the bank bill swap rate has fallen, and that's an indicator of the rate that the bank has had to raise money at to finance your fixed rate loan. So if you pull out of your fixed rate loan now, if you go back to the bank 12 months later, that's 2 years to run on your fixed rate, and say, look, I want to get out of this so I can get a better rate in the market, they'll say, well, fine, you can do that if you want to, but you've got to compensate us for the big deposit, the expensive deposit we raised to fund your loan. And that, you know, on a $400,000 loan with a couple of years to run and rates falling as much as they have, you could be up for $20,000. Now, that's the big drawback in going fixed rate, in particular when there's more room to move down in rates. You know, when rates get to rock bottom, the risk isn't as high.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really the point, isn't it? So at certain points in the cycle, locking in a fixed rate when the rates are really low can give you some security over the next 2 or 3 years. Although actually, I think the Reserve Bank has even said themselves, they're not going to be lifting rates anytime soon. So the chances are that rates probably won't go up from a cash rate perspective, but banks might move independently. And interestingly, one of the things that they do sometimes when they've got too much volume coming through their front door, as it were, is they put their rates up a bit to turn the volume down a bit.
Yeah, in particular, small players who have more trouble raising funding, they can actually turn that tap down a little bit and say, look, we've got more than we can handle, and we've also got more than we can handle in terms of pure processing muscle. So we have to slow it up. Now, if you can't write all the loans, why not ration it a bit with the price and take a slightly higher margin? So, yeah, a bit of that does go on. The other thing you see is that at various times I'll be able to raise cheaper money at one term rather than another term. So you can sometimes see a fixed rate for 2 years go down and 3 years go up or a move like that. So there's always a little bit of that tweaking.
Yeah, which is why, of course, access to good information is so critical. And that's obviously what you guys offer, which is tremendous. But there's another point to make as well, and that is that the advertised rate that's actually available, publicly and listed on your site isn't necessarily the rate that you end up with, because there are a whole set of other things like loan-to-value ratios, risk profiles, and all of those things that can determine the absolute rate that you get at the end of the day.
Yeah, look, that's raised another really interesting point, Martin, too, because one of the trends we are seeing at the moment is that lower rates are becoming quite predominant. A lot of lenders are actually offering lower interest rates for lower LVRs. Now, LVR is the loan-to-value ratio, and a high LVR means you don't have much deposit, you don't have much equity in your property. As your equity builds, you have a lower LVR, and banks are now, more and more banks, are actually offering better rates for low LVR loans. So it's a very interesting point. And the other point is that, let's say you're borrowing from your bank $1 million. They want that loan, and there's a very good chance that you'll be able to get an extra 0.2% off or something in particular. Well, only probably if you have a very good record.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important. The credit rating and those sorts of things are becoming probably even more critical, particularly now with, the current economic uncertainties. I guess another question I have is that those advertised rates, are they the same if you go via a broker, or are there a different set of rates if you go via a broker compared to going direct to a bank?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting question. Every now and then, a broker does have a little bit more up their sleeve that the bank has given them. And the bank will say to them, look, we'll give you an extra, 0.10 off the loan just to get the broker to direct more business their way. Over half of loans are now written through brokers. So it's a distribution channel that the banks really want to keep on side. So they'll sometimes do a bit of that. But the broker might, having said that, might also have to kind of balance the book a bit and get the full rate from someone else. So that can happen. The other thing that can happen is that going direct, you can still sometimes get a better deal if you're a good negotiator. Now, the reason we only show the advertised rate is that not everyone's a good negotiator. Now, we all would love to think we are, but Australians don't make, we pay the ticket price when we go to the shop. We don't negotiate.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, that's my point, I guess, that you can't guarantee the cheapest rate one channel or the other channel. You know, it pays to shop around and shop across channels, right? Because there are different deals at different times.
The only way to get the best deal, Martin, is to actually be aware of what's around and say, look, I know I can get this loan. There it is. Have a look at this website. It's there on the CanSale website. I can get that deal. So you better come to the party, guys.
Now, let me just then move the conversation forward to this thing called comparison rates, because you often show one rate, which is effectively the headline quoted rate, and then you're showing a different rate, which is the effective comparison rate. Now, people often don't understand what that represents, so it's a good idea to really understand the difference between the two, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is. The interest rate you pay is the headline rate. So that might be, say, 3%. And you might see a comparison rate of 3.05%. Now, the reason that exists is that the bank actually charges you fees as well. So if you see 3.05%, 3.1% on a variable rate loan, chances are the fees are reasonably steep. So anything below, you know, sort of a 0.01, a 0.02 difference, you should look at it and say, look for the fees. How much are the fees? And think about fees as well as interest rate. It's all money out of your pocket. But it gets worse. Always gets worse. Fixed rates are where you'll see mega differences. So currently, the big banks are offering 2.19, 2.29 fixed rates. That's for 2 and 3 years. Now, that's amazing rates from big companies that have distribution and branches in every corner. So they're ridiculously low rates. You'll find, though, that the comparison rate might be over 4%. Now, that's a big difference. And that means that, and it's there because the rate, and what this should twig you to, is the rate you'll go to after the 3-year fixed rate period is actually, you know, over 4%. It's their standard variable rate. So it should twig you to that. Be aware of that and say, hold on a minute. When 3 years or 2 years and 10 months comes along, I better start thinking about either renegotiating with my current bank so that I don't go to that ridiculously high rate, or look at alternatives.
And the comparison rate is based on a standard assumed loan of a certain duration and a certain size, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it was set about 20 years ago or something, and it was set at $250,000 over 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, the average loan now is about $400,000, and the average term is 30 years. So it's a little bit out of date. It's a kind of very technical, very legalistic term. It gives you a fair idea, though. It's all it's meant to do is act as a trigger to say, are there extra fees or is there a rate I go to after this 3-year fixed period?
Yeah, the way I think about it, it's an extra signal for those who understand it, right?
And exactly.
It's basically getting you to ask the next question, which is, so how much are the fees? What are the assumptions later? And it's really important, of course, because the decisions that you take and the rate that you take over the accumulation of years with the mortgage can make a huge difference in terms of the total that you repay and how quickly you can repay.
Look, I looked at it prior to this, and the difference between paying the average rate of 3.46 and the lowest rate of 2.19 for an 80% LVR loan is $279 a month and $94,000 in interest over the term of the loan. Now, that's a crazy big number, and that's a number that makes a difference to your ongoing, your end wealth, frankly. It erodes your wealth paying too much. So big difference, can't be ignored.
Right. And so how do we deal then with this Australian thing of not really caring and being too busy down at the beach and those sorts of things, right? Because it's clear to me that there are some people who really delve into this into a lot of detail, but many people just shy away from thinking about this.
People think it's hard. Look, for most people, not you and I, Mark, but for most people, it's boring. It's finance. Now, I love finance, so it's a labour of love for me. But most people find it horrendously boring and the eyes glaze over. So they don't even think about it. Now, you've got to put that little bit of effort into it. It's probably like a weekend to set aside and say, it's raining outside, instead of going to a movie, let's actually have a look at the website. Let's have a look at Cancer's website, look through these 4,000 loans and start trying to work out one that's right for us. Go into the calculator, see how much you'll save. That'll be a pretty good incentive to keep going. Yeah. And then realize that it's not that hard. It's not hard at all. You can do it over the phone with some lenders. You can go online and put an application in. It's not hard at all. And the lender that you go to takes care of what happens with the guy at the other end. You'll sign the authority and they'll just present it and say, give us the title deed. So it's easier to do than you'd think. Yeah, you'll have to prove your income. Yes, you'll have to prove your expenses, yada, yada, yada. But it doesn't take as long as you think. And the costs are a lot lower than they used to be. You know, getting a mortgage release and all that style of thing is just a couple hundred dollars, $200, $300. It's nothing like, you know, having to pay stamp duty again, which was an horrendous thing. So it's easier and it's less costly, and you'll recover your costs within a month or 2 months. You'll be well paid for your time within a year, and over 30 years life of a loan, you might save yourself $100,000.
Yeah, and that's really the point, isn't it? This is probably the simplest way of saving the biggest amount of money that you could possibly think about.
Yeah, and you don't have to eat the cheapest cut of steak or the cheapest plonk or anything else. It doesn't hurt your lifestyle at all. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. You know, you do this, you don't feel any negative about it. So you just can't ignore it.
Yeah. So, folks, take the opportunity, put a note in the diary every 3 months is my recommendation, to be able to just pulse check where your rate is relative to the best in the marketplace, and then basically make that call, put that application in, because you'll save thousands.
And do your homework before you do it, because if you go and make a call before you know what's available, you'll either be throwing a bone where the banker says, look, we'll give you 0.15% off, when the banker knows full well they could give you 0.3%, or they'll just say, oh, no, you won't get that loan. Or, no, that only applies to X, Y, or Z or something. So do your homework first so that you know that you, if you accept a deal from them, it's a good deal, and you know how to argue to say, well, no, I'll qualify for this. I'm serious. And proving yourself serious is probably the key thing in all the prep. You prove to the banker that, yep, you're prepared to move if you've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly, I think, the point. Be prepared, do the work, push hard, and don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I guess, look, expand your shopping list is another key thing. I mean, there are the best 10 rates in the market, variable rates in the market, for little brands you've probably never heard of. They're the mortgage originators. They're the non-Australian deposit-taking institutions. But they're still, the ASIC still is looking over the shoulder, so they're still regulated by ASIC, and they're offering amazing rates. There's, you know, the Freedom 2.17, the 2.19 from Reduce, et cetera, so the top 10 rates are there. And now a lot of the big guys are now coming to the party with regular rates too, but don't feel you've got to only deal with brands you know. There are plenty of other brands out there, and brands like HSBC and ING are very competitive. Now, they're massive international banks, but most Aussies really don't know who they are.
Yeah, I think that's also very good advice. Shop around, just don't go to the standard brands. And I think the last point I want to make is, if you think about it, if you continue to pay those higher rates than you could, not only are you losing money, but the bank is making more money on you than they should, and whilst the bank shareholders will prosper, you won't. So it's effectively a question of, do you want to prosper or do you want to allow the banks to prosper? Simple decision.
It's an easy decision. You're probably a bank shareholder as well if you've got superannuation, but don't be one of the ones that contributes to higher profits. You be the one that gets the best deal. Let someone else who's not prepared to put in the legwork contribute to huge bank profits.
Steve, I appreciate your time today. That's a really valuable session, and let's hope many of the viewers save money as a result.
Look, I hope so, Martin. That's why we're both here.
Indeed. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Martin.